Test, test, 1, 2, 3.
Check, check.
Check, check.
Look at that.
Okay.
And we're going.
Oh, I'm going to open this.
Yay.
Woohoo.
Yay for Diet Coke. Not sponsored.
We would take a sponsorship.
I would absolutely take a sponsorship from Diet Coke.
We drink a lot of Diet Coke.
Yes, we do in this office.
Yeah.
All right. Get my cords in order.
Okay. Darla.
Darla, come back. Darla's around here somewhere.
Darla's around.
We're back. Welcome back to Continuing Conversations. I'm
Hello.
Pastor Matt.
I'm Pastor Dana.
And we've got new equipment again.
Again.
That's hilarious. We've got a new little soundboard thingy because the last one was really bad. Our volume is way up, but I think what's coming through our headphones is going to be what's coming through there.
Okay.
I think so.
Okay, that's fine with me.
I don't know. It's cool. We've got the ability to pull stuff up on a phone. And it's going to be in here. That's Mac Miller's Knock Knock, which is a great song. I love Mac Miller.
Love Mac Miller.
That was a big, big college high repeat in college was Mac Miller. I feel like heavy repeat in the fraternity house, of course.
Of course.
Big frat guy energy, Mac Miller. But
When did Mac Miller pass away?
I don't know.
Is that 20?
It was
14, 15? Yeah.
It feels like it was a couple of years ago, but that probably was.
That was pretty sad.
Yeah. I mean, incredibly sad. Such a deep guy.
Yeah.
2018.
Oh, 2018.
I know.
Okay.
So that's even more recent. But I would have said what you said, like 2014, 15, somewhere around there. But yeah, super talented, his stuff is super cerebral and
it's
very deep.
It's really deep.
And now looking back on it, it's like, he was struggling with a lot of stuff and he wasn't shy about it either. In a lot of his songs, he's very clearly struggling with it. So rest in peace, Mac Miller. Didn't intend to start with that, but, we got new equipment.
You played a Mac Miller song.
I did. And I can again. Oh, maybe I can. Oh, there it is. 1, 2, 3, 4. All right.
We'll let Mac Miller sing that one.
I don't know how much we can actually put of copyright material before we get taken down.
Okay. You're right.
So anyway.
So you got to sing over.
I just wanted to show that all the new cool bells and whistles we have.
Yeah.
We can do all sorts of cool stuff. And,
again.
It's fun.
I feel like we do this intro every few weeks. It's like, we got new stuff.
But this time we're sticking with it because this is like a legit piece of equipment. Whereas before I tried to, the classic thing of you go on the website named after a river and it's like, here's this thing that has everything in one and it's so cheap, it's the greatest thing ever. You buy the big bundle thing, why is it so cheap? Well, you find out pretty quickly why it's so cheap. It's so cheap because it's bad. So we returned that thing because it was not great. But now we've got legit equipment and we can have 4 microphones on this thing, which is cool, and 4 headphones, and we can control them individually, which is fun because I think we're going to try to take our podcast on the road next week.
Yeah.
We're going to the Bishop's Theological Conference in Alexandria, and I think it would be fun to take a couple more microphones and see who stops by, and we can talk about...
We just post up and see stuff.
Yeah, and just be like, hey, you want to talk about the gospel from last week?
Yeah, we should, because Sunday's gospel is... tough.
It's a tough one.
Yeah.
So we'll see what their interpretation is.
Yep.
What's going on with you? I feel like we haven't done this for a little while.
TV shows we're watching, because I'm watching Dancing with the Stars.
Me too.
Yeah.
Love it. It's so good. I'm not up to date, but I did watch last week's episode. And right off the bat, the Mormon
they're
wives.
Good.
Great. They're
but
awesome.
But there's so many good ones this
week. Almost everybody.
Yeah.
Except for Corey Feldman.
Well, yeah. And Andy Richter.
I love Andy Richter though, because I'm a big Conan guy. I've always loved Conan O'Brien.
Oh, he was so funny.
Oh,
he's having
hysterical.
The best time with it. But yeah.
But it's always funny to me on Dancing with the Stars because every season there's a couple of old men.
Yes.
Who have no dance experience, or they're just too old. You know, they can't be doing flips and tricks like
Jen
Affleck. Yeah, exactly. So they what ends up happening is their dance pro that they're paired with ends up just like
dancing
around spinning
around
yeah. them, and they're just standing statically being like doing jazz hands.
Jazz it, woo-hoo!
And just like yeah. a step touch, ay. And the person around them is like spin handstand, woo, and like
distraction.
Wow, yeah, don't look at how bad this old guy is. And Andy Richter is that guy this year for sure.
Yep.
Corey Feldman, this is weird.
Okay, you didn't watch this week's, but mm-hmm. Carrie Ann was back, one of the judges.
Yeah, Carrie Ann.
And I got really annoyed, and I was talking with a friend about it, that mm-hmm. they don't give the judges enough time to like give any feedback and talk. And this
Maybe
week,
15 seconds.
Well, this week, they had two judges got to speak and like give some feedback, mm-hmm. and then the third one could only give one word. Yeah.
And what's the point?
So they
even?
Like rotated through every pair, but I was like, this is the whole point of the show. Like, take
Darla's got some feelings on it too.
Yeah, I know. Take out some of the other fluff that we're doing.
Yeah.
And like the judges should get some time. You wanna talk?
Yeah. You got something to say?
Little sniff.
You got something to say too, Darla?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true. It's always
she
seems
said, what
very
are you guys
rushed.
Doing? Pay attention to me.
We're talking. We're talking yes, to we're the people. Our tens of listeners out there need to hear what we have to say.
She said, me too.
Me too. Yeah, you got stuff to say.
Hey, sit down.
Robert Irwin, though, is my favorite. I love Robert Irwin.
He was good.
He was great. I love his whole family.
Yes,
Bindi
love
was
him.
Great when she was on.
I thought Elaine was really fun.
Oh, yeah.
From Parent Trap.
Okay. I haven't watched this week's one, so I don't know
this week's is fun.
Yeah.
Who else? I mean, there's okay, Robert's with Whitney. She's right. so great.
Yeah, Whitney's great.
Yep.
Love Robert. I just, that whole family's just so pure.
Well, and yeah, his sister won.
Bindi won when she was on.
With Derek Hough. Yeah.
That's right.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, I grew up with the Crocodile Hunter.
Yep.
That was my
Steve Irwin.
That was my pre-elementary school show. Like when I was, you know, my mom would make me breakfast and I would sit at the kitchen table.
Mm-hmm.
And it would always be on the TV. I don't know why it was always just on the Animal Planet at that time of day. And I would sit and I would eat my cereal or whatever I was having for breakfast. And I would watch Steve Irwin. Crikey. Look at this. Look at this love. And then he'd, you know, jump on it and whatever. But I remember watching that show as a kid and Steve being like, here's my daughter, Bindi. And she was just a baby. And then Robert came on the scene and...
Yep. Well,
now
he's only like
grown.
22, right?
He's only 20. He's a young kid, but he's like, he is the Australian zoo. Him and Bindi are like run the place.
Yep.
And he's just so pure and he loves animals and wildlife conservation. Just like this whole, protect this family. They're too pure
I know.
For this world.
They're so good.
Good people.
Yeah. And then he's funny. He's like, I'm not afraid of crocs, but.
I'm afraid of dancing.
I'm afraid.
Arnar.
A tango or something.
Yeah. Oh, sure. Like, but he's good, though, too. He did the jive.
The
I
jive.
Think was his first dance. The kicks and flicks, always scary, but not for Robert. He went after it. I don't know what this family can, wrangle anacondas and are great at dancing. And? I don't get it. You can't have everything.
You can't.
But apparently they do. They're
the
just
Irwins
kind,
can.
Sweet people.
Yep.
I don't know. I don't understand it. And you were gone. You went to California.
I was gone. I went to California. Mm-hmm. Yep.
That was for your internship congregation.
Yes.
Had an anniversary, right?
It was their 60th anniversary. They did a big party.
That's cool.
The bishop came and spoke a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
One of the members, so you can do the math there. He was 8 when the congregation got started by his dad was the first pastor. They've only had three pastors in 60 years, which is
that says a lot.
Also wild.
That's amazing. Yeah, that says a lot about a community that they can hold a leader for that long too.
Yeah, so it was Pastor Don Bankson was the first one, started the church, built the church like there was nothing around it, and then
shout out Don,
and then it was John Knutson.
Oh.
I should know. They both have buildings named after them. So there's Bankson Hall and Knutson Hall.
This church has like a campus?
Yeah. Well, this is California. Everything's disconnected.
I guess everything
you can walk outside.
With a little courtyard in between.
So it's not one big building. And then like the sanctuary building is by itself.
Yeah. Yeah, my church in Fort Worth was also like that.
Yeah.
Big courtyard in the center, and that was very cool.
Yeah.
Because
yep.
why wouldn't you? If you live in a place that doesn't have weather,
right?
It's just like sunny all the time. Yeah, why wouldn't you just have everything yep. be open air?
Yep. and now it is Pastor David Mattson, who was my supervisor. And yeah. He's great. He's been there almost 25 years, I think. Something
yeah,
like
Dave.
That. So, David.
David. Okay. Yeah,
Pastor
David.
David.
He doesn't like Dave. He's not that.
He's not a Dave.
He's not. Okay. he's got David energy.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Big David energy.
Yeah. And then the bishop. That's a Dave. Bishop Dave.
Okay, that's a Dave. That one I can
Dave
call
Nagler.
Dave.
Dave Nagler. Yep.
Okay, cool.
He is a Dave. That is Dave energy.
All right. And you saw Bishop Dave.
And then I saw a bunch of people. It was a surprise to a lot of people.
Oh, that you were there?
Yeah.
They were cool. Like,
well, one of the other staff who works there, Michelle, was like, oh, yeah, I was supposed to announce it that you were coming, and then I forgot. So.
Okay. So you just showed up.
So like, hey, I'm here. Up. Yeah. And people were like,
oh,
Dana's here.
Dana's here.
So it can now be called Dana Point again.
Mm-hmm, now that you're back.
Yeah. They just had to call it the Point.
Yeah.
For
it
a
was
while.
Point for a yeah, bit. That was just, weird. I saw that on Apple yeah. Maps. And then you were yeah, there and they changed it.
Right. They were
and
like,
now
oh,
that you're gone, it's back to
back
Dana
again.
Point.
Right.
Oh, they'll figure it out someday.
So this came up in a conversation. Someone was like, Dana, you should end all of your sermons with, and that's Dana's Point.
Is that the explanation behind
oh,
your
yeah, that
Instagram
was the caption?
Was your Instagram caption?
Yeah, because it was so funny. I was like,
that's
"Why didn't we
Dana's
talk about
point.
This 2 years ago when
yeah,
I was here?"
When you were
here.
Actually here, and that's Dana's
and
point.
And that's Dana's point.
It's so, pretty good.
It was pretty good.
If anything, that deserves the yeah. drum roll, but
yep.
rim
yep.
shot.
Yeah, it was fun.
You should. That should be. And that that's yeah. Dana's point.
And that's
amen.
Dana's point. Yep.
Or maybe that just replaces the amen.
Yeah.
You could do that after your prayers.
Dana's point.
That was Dana's point. Cool.
Because it's all about me.
Yes. That's what yep. we've learned about preaching. And
yeah, well. Mm-hmm. Yep. And then we had a beach day.
Cool.
Saw a good sunset. Ate some good food.
Very cool.
Watched some football.
Very cool.
Yeah.
It's good times.
That was okay. So we're mm-hmm. 2 hours behind out in California. So
yeah.
football starts at 10 a.m. So we're like,
what a dream.
We're going to the bar at 10 a.m. And I'm
yeah.
like, yeah, we're going to the
yes,
bar
we
at 10
are.
a.m. And we were not the only ones there. That
absolutely
was
not.
Packed.
Yeah. If you live in a place where the NFL
yeah.
kickoff is at noon, it's 10. Yeah, of course.
Yeah, yeah.
People are at the
uh-huh.
bar getting ready.
Well, and just I feel like so many fans of different teams, too, that we,
yeah.
you know, we went to a place with all the games
even
on.
East
that
Coast
was fun.
Team.
Yeah.
You're starting early.
Oh, yeah.
Really hitting the kegs and eggs.
Kegs mm-hmm. and eggs.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I
speaking
did have eggs for breakfast and
of course.
A beer. You know?
There you go. Kegs and eggs.
I was like, it's my birthday. I can do this.
Yeah, absolutely.
And
can.
Then David's wife, Kimberly,
mm-hmm.
brought a cake to the bar. And I was like, that's awesome.
You know what? Cake at a bar.
Cake at the bar.
That
saying,
might,
happy
be my new,
we
the,
ate some cake.
Might be my new move.
Yeah.
Just everywhere I go, just bring a cake to
bring
the bar.
Bring a cake to the bar.
Why not?
And then,
who's upset to see...
Yeah.
Some cake.
Okay, then the leftover cake, well, I was like, I have to fly tomorrow. Mm-hmm. I'm not taking the leftover cake.
Yeah.
She just gave it to our server, was like, do you guys want some cake? It's Dana's birthday. Here you go. It was so cute. He was
yeah.
so excited about it. I mean, we'd been there for 3 hours
yeah.
watching football, so.
Yeah.
At people this are, point, we were like, here
yeah.
you go.
Here you go. Here's some cake.
Have some cake.
Yeah, who's going to anyway. Say no to that?
Yeah.
Fun.
Yeah, it was great.
Good
time.
Yeah, great times. But now you're back.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And then we leave on Sunday.
I'll be gone again next weekend, so it's fine.
Yeah.
then I'll be here for a while. It,
yeah,
it's crazy.
It stabilizes.
Couple weeks.
It is. It's a wild time of year.
It was also my birthday, did we say?
September.
That? Yeah.
Yes, the 21st night of September.
Yeah.
I think we talked about that on the last podcast.
Okay.
Earth, Wind, and Fire named that song after your birthday.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's right.
Of course they
do. So, happy birthday. You're a year older.
Mm-hmm.
And you're years old.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I like how I walked in yesterday and Darcy said, you look older.
Yeah, yeah, hey, thanks.
Thanks.
I feel older.
Thanks,
you were wearing
Darcy.
Your knee brace.
Yes.
Like, I'm embracing that I'm old now. I'm wearing my knee brace.
I don't know.
I'm
my
feeling
knee's
old.
Been, my knee's been sore lately. I'm like, I don't know if it's the changing season
does
again
that,
or
does
something.
Does that happen?
I'm making that up.
Some
but.
People say that. They're like, oh, my shoulder hurts. It's going to rain. You know
yeah,
how people have
yeah,
that?
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe
it didn't
you
rain,
got
though,
it.
So.
No, you got your knee hurts when the seasons change.
Sure. There
know.
We go.
Sure. Let's go with that.
And then yesterday I did have to take it off because it rubs and it hurts. So there's
yeah.
like a
That like sounds very painful. And it's like holding your knee in a stabilized position. So, of course, that hurts too, because that's not where your knee wants to go.
Yeah, my knee's but like, it's where no, it should we're go. So used to this way.
Yeah, I want to be broken. Let me be broken.
Let me be broken. Please. There's some gospel something message in there somewhere.
Yeah, God is the, Jesus is the brace.
The stabilizer brace.
Yep. Maybe for this Sunday. You don't have your sermon written for Sunday, so.
I have it mostly written, actually, now. Because I was locked in that room for.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that helped.
I was taking a meeting out there, so you skedaddled, so you didn't have to.
Well, I took Darla, because she causes a commotion.
She does tend to bark sometimes.
Yes.
So?
Out of excitement.
But you may have and your knee brace is not part of that sermon.
No. I got lots to do in that sermon since we're going through the ELCA stuff. So I got to connect it to stewardship of God's creation and...
Woo. Is it the...
Creation and something.
What's the...
Stewardship. It's the rich man and Lazarus.
Oh, okay. Is that the one...
The rich man goes to Hades.
Oh,
Lazarus goes to heaven.
That isn't the one we just taught the WoW kids. No, that's the rich man's and the banquet.
Yes, that was a rich man and the banquet.
I'm getting all these stories all mixed up. We got a lot of different things going on.
Wildly unprepared to talk about your last two sermons. So I hope things come up as we'll start talking.
We'll see. So let's start September.
We got 2 weeks to do.
Yes, 2 weeks to do since we've been very busy. You've been here and there and everywhere and with confirmation and WoW and Sunday school and everything kicking off. It's just been a lot. So September 14th. The text for that Sunday is Luke chapter 15, 1 through 10. And this is the tax collectors and sinners coming around them and the Pharisees and the scribes grumbling, saying, this fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them. So Jesus, as he always does, tells a parable about the lost sheep and the lost coin. I called my sermon Lost and Found. And the speaking of the kind of having to do a lot of different moves, the thing I tried to connect it to is forgiveness and reconciliation as part of our ELCA values and vision or whatever they call it.
Mm-hmm.
So, did you have any thoughts on that? Anything come to mind? You don't have any notes today.
I didn't even bring any notes today.
You got nothing.
I also... only listened to the first one because I was in Sunday school for the second one.
That's true.
This is
things lost, things found.
Things lost and things found.
What does it mean for us?
Well, I'm going to throw it back to you with a question.
Okay.
Because
answer my question with another question.
I think the coin and the sheep get overshadowed a lot of times by the prodigal son story.
Yeah.
So was that different or difficult to not do the prodigal son story and just do the coin and the sheep?
Just do the coin. Yeah, kind of. I mean, because the prodigal son is one that people have a lot of opinions of out the gate, because that's one of those stories that people actually know.
Right.
Whereas, you know, if somebody said, hey, you know, what's the prodigal son about? They might not get the complete, perfect theological point across, but they'd be able to tell you the broad strokes of what the prodigal son is about. In fact, that story is so well known that people will use that as a thing. You know,
it's kind of a phrase.
Somebody who's gone is like, oh, the prodigal son returns. You know, it's kind of like it's up there with Good Samaritan. The people are like, oh, look at the Good Samaritan. And people say, but do they really know what it is?
Right.
It's tough because the prodigal son does kind of the same thing as the sheep and the coin in this story.
It adds more humanity into it.
Yeah, because
you're talking about inanimate object.
Yeah, and an animal.
And a sheep. Yeah.
And you're going, "Oh, what is any of this?" But I did very briefly touch on the prodigal son.
Yeah.
In just to highlight the fact that in a lot of these parables, we need to understand that we're not the acting agent in the story.
Right.
And in these stories of the sheep and the coin, you know, we are to see ourselves as the inanimate object. Coin's got no agency, didn't sprout legs and walk away. It's not the coin's fault that it got lost in the house,
right?
And it has no way
you
of
saying that. That was kind of
itself.
That was kind of an earworm for coin. The coin didn't walk away.
It's just a coin. Like, what is it supposed to do?
Right.
And kind of similar to the sheep. The sheep has legs and can walk off and whatever, but it's also just a sheep. It doesn't know what it's doing unless somebody's telling it where to go. They're not super smart animals.
Right.
So I did touch on the prodigal son just briefly because the prodigal son... I think we misunderstand what the prodigal son story is. Not about the prodigal son, it's about the father.
Right.
If you're paying attention to what the prodigal mm-hmm. son is doing, you're going to kind of miss the point.
Yeah.
You know, you should be focusing on the actions of the father. So right. The same thing here with the lost coin and the lost sheep is if you're paying attention to the coin and the sheep, you're going to kind of miss the overall message,
yep.
which is
yep.
the coin and the sheep do nothing to earn their salvation, do nothing to earn their foundness, you know.
Yep.
It happens upon them. And what do we do now mm-hmm. with the knowledge that we are one that has been lost and found by no merit of our own? And so my connection to the forgiveness and reconciliation statement from our synod yeah. is then we should have this heart for forgiveness for others. Yes, even the ones that we can't stand, yeah. right? Even the ones that we think are so hopelessly lost that they're a lost cause, right? If we have been
well, from
lost
our
and found
perspective,
for our, like, yeah, from our yeah, yeah, exactly. Because in God's perspective, nobody is too far past the pale, right? There's nobody.
Or we all are.
Or maybe we all are.
Like that's what I was thinking. If
yeah, none of us are worthy of it because this was
or
all.
Or we're all worthy of it.
Or we're
feel
all
like that's
yeah,
my, like
because we're not. We all are. Yeah. Because the whole story starts with the tax collectors and sinners kind of joining Jesus's orbit and being a part of his following. And that's when people started grumbling of what's this guy Jesus having all of these ne'er-do-wells as a part of the as a part of his social circle. And that's when he responds with these stories of
mm-hmm.
things that were lost and things that were found. Don't start to think of yourself as, you know, you're one of the right ones. You're the one in the pen with everybody else, because that's when you start to misunderstand what your role is here. And that's why I think it's important that Jesus does hold these two parables sort of side by side, the coin and the sheep. And I spent some time talking about that as well in my sermon, that the coin is lost inside the house. The coin
yes.
didn't
yes, you did.
Go off somewhere, which is important for us churchy folk who are in church every Sunday. You know, you're in the house.
Yeah.
You can still be lost in the house. You know, you still may have wandered off even though you're right where you should be.
Right.
You're
right.
In church every Sunday. So you might be thinking to yourself, well, I'm one of the sheep. I'm in the right place. I'm here. I'm right where I should be.
I would argue
or
some
you could
might
be
the most lost inside
yeah,
the house.
Absolutely.
Because it's easy to know the stuff and to miss the actual
right.
point.
Right. Or think because you know the stuff so well
that
you're holier than thou,
yes,
you're better than
yeah.
whatever. And that's, I think, the point of this parable is to say, look, you all were lost and found.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't do anything to earn it. You know, God is the sheep, or God is
right.
the shepherd that comes, leaves the others and finds you. God is the woman who searches the house.
Yeah.
And then the capping piece of it that Jesus explains at the end is, you know, there's more rejoicing in heaven for that one lost.
Yeah.
So, you know, this is something to celebrate. This is something that should lead
yeah.
to overwhelming joy. So shouldn't we focus all of our ministry on
yeah.
on trying to go out and invite in even those people that we think don't deserve it, don't belong, don't fit in? You know, those are the people that heaven would burst forth with rejoicing even more to be invited in.
Well,
how are we excluding some people just
but I guess
being church?
I don't know, in where
yeah
like
yeah into this building,
like,
is that enough? No, I guess, because you
I
could
don't
be
know.
Lost here too.
Yeah, the hypothetical of like we're in the house and we're lost. Let's say that's everyone.
Yeah.
So to invite people into that space would be inviting them into lostness. I don't know. Maybe
yeah.
I'm going too deep into that.
I don't
but
know.
This like I think that's what gets confusing sometimes is if you have the wrong invitation.
Right. Or for the wrong reason.
Or for the wrong reason, or for some kind of control over mm-hmm. people. Yeah. Or for some kind of influence over how they think or what they do or how mm-hmm. they function, then that's how these like other people are getting turned off of yeah. this Jesus thing, right? Mm-hmm. Like, because it's not our invitation to give.
Right. Yeah.
We're just the ones acting on it.
Right. Yeah. It's not then our job it, to do.
But it almost feels like a bigger responsibility.
Right.
Since it's not our invitation.
Right.
Like, if mm-hmm. it's my invitation and I mess that up, okay, that's on me.
Right. Yeah.
But if it's someone else's invitation and I mess that up, like, I have a responsibility to... Yeah. God, I don't know. Maybe I'm going to differently into this.
I mean, it's tough because we understand that God is the acting agent in the thing. Yeah, it's not our invitation to make. It's something that God has already done.
But I think that's where churches get it wrong a lot, is they take yeah. that invitation as theirs. And mm-hmm. then it's this language of like, we have to get people here yeah. or we have to keep people here. Or
and
we
get
like
that ownership.
How do
of
we
it.
Have them?
Yeah.
You know, this question of like, where are the young people? Well, yeah. like, why do you want them
yeah.
here? Because mm-hmm. do you just want them for this, some kind of appearance that, you know,
right.
like we have a church that has people or mm-hmm. like I don't know
the motivations
I don't like
can be
the
messy.
Language around the like possession of people
yeah for
with,
sure
with how or kids too
yeah
right like mm-hmm. oh look at how many kids we have
yeah
like ew okay
yeah yeah people get very tangled up in like
yeah.
numbers and a lot of times wanting to get more people in the church becomes all about like, well, the more people we have, then the more money we will have, and then we can build more things or do more. We can build up the house more. And it's like, gee, that's not what we're called here to do.
Right.
Just to get more butts in the seats so we can right. get more members, so we can bump up the pledges, so we can brag about the number we have yeah. on the sheet. It's like, yeah, that's
if we really wanted people
invitation.
With money, we don't want kids and young people. So
no.
I don't know.
Yeah. Or so, or
don't
poor
grumble,
people
don't
or
grumble
whatever.
About
yeah.
the young people
exactly.
because they don't have any money.
They got nothing. Yeah. Yeah. That's true.
Got nothing.
Yeah. So that was forgiveness and reconciliation. Yeah. And it, I wasn't sure how it was going to work. And it actually ended up.
It did. It worked
I think,
out.
Fitting pretty well, which is
well,
a Holy Spirit
the,
thing. A funny thing how that happens sometimes.
I mean, it's because of who the action is coming
right.
from.
Yeah.
From God and not from us in right. forgiveness and reconciliation. And then the repositioning of. We mm-hmm. are also people of forgiveness
right.
and people of reconciliation because of that.
Yeah.
Like
because
from
we have
God's
received.
Grace.
Yeah. Yeah.
We
Yeah. We can
are,
do the same.
We can do that. Yeah.
We're challenged to do the yeah. same. Yeah,
yeah.
Because we have received so great a gift, we can now try our best to go out and do the same.
Yeah.
But we won't get it right and we'll mess up and we'll fall short. And
yep. Yep.
it's all right,
yep.
there's grace in that too, I guess. That's the good news there.
I think one of the things that I love about this passage, which
mm-hmm.
you didn't talk about, but
yeah.
every time it comes around, is the part where the shepherd leaves the 99.
Yeah.
Where is that? Does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it. I don't know. I find that really... well, sacrificial, I
yeah.
guess, too.
Mm-hmm.
But also, like, yeah, it's not like, hey, 99, come with me.
Yeah.
We've got to do this together.
No.
Or, like, it's, yeah, it's this real sacrifice to,
yeah.
to go search for the one and a responsibility to the one
mm-hmm.
of valuing
Yeah,
that.
It calls into question, you know, the times when we're like, are we really going to make changes to our organization for one person who
oh,
has some, you know,
yeah.
special need of some sort? Do we
mm-hmm.
really want to? And it's like, biblically, yeah, we should.
Yeah.
We
yeah.
should be sacrificing our own comfort sometimes if that means being a place that's more welcoming to a person
yeah.
that has other needs.
Mm-hmm.
So... Yeah, that the whole, you know, abandoning the 99, not saying that those 99 aren't important and aren't loved, but the one that's lost is the one that's in a vulnerable position.
Right.
So,
well, you have to imagine at some point, like, okay, play this story out, you know. Yeah, it was this one time, but then it's a different one another time.
Right, yeah, sure.
And then it's another one.
Yeah, so who's to say?
It's, you know, it's not like it's ongoing. Always the one. There's, yeah. We are always kind of the outsider sometimes and the 99 sometimes. So,
yeah, we can be both.
I feel like that rotates.
Yeah,
through.
Why? Yeah, who's to say? A lot of these parables, you could do that. If, let's say tomorrow what happens.
Yeah.
One goes missing again, sure. The shepherd isn't going to go, I did that yesterday. I'm not doing that again. You know, no, we could extrapolate that this happens every single day and it's not the same sheep every time, but everyone in that herd gets that same love and care that if they happen to wander off, the shepherd will go out and find them.
From a practicality standpoint, we can't change everything for one all the time.
But but we should have our ears open to it more.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because that's apparently what we're supposed to be doing.
Well,
should we go to the next one?
Yeah.
So the next Sunday,
I did listen to this yesterday.
Yay. Okay, good. So this one is a little bit fresher because this was just last Sunday, September the 21st, and the text is Luke chapter 16, 1-13. And this is the shrewd manager, the foolish manager, whatever you want to call it. And
some say dishonest.
Dishonest
right?
manager. Okay. Yeah. Some say dishonest, some say shrewd. And the connection was dignity, compassion, and justice. And I said this in my sermon, but this was one that at the beginning of the week, I'm like, there couldn't be a worse
connection.
How am I going to bend over backwards to make this thing work? Because this text is so clearly about demonizing the rich and saying, you know, the love of, again, it's like we're at this, the love of money is the root of all evil sort of thing. And Jesus even says,
I got another one of those coming up.
You can't serve two masters. So I'm like, oh, no, this is a money one.
Right.
But if you read it once again as, you know, who's the acting agent in the thing, it's not really the manager. It's the master that is the one that extends this grace once again. And the grace is extended because the manager acts shrewdly to restore relationships.
Right.
You know, he's making friends for himself by means of dishonest wealth. And this dishonest wealth is forgiveness, ultimately, is what I think we're supposed to come to at the end. But yeah, this was one of those that I'm reading and I'm like, make friends for yourself by means of dishonest wealth. I'm like, I got nothing. I'm going to have to really, really punt on this one to make it work. But
well, it really feels did work. So uncomfortable if we believe ourselves to be truthful, honest.
Right.
You know, righteous people.
And Jesus is saying, go be dishonest with the wealth you have and make buddies for yourself because maybe they'll repay you someday. And it's like, this doesn't make any sense until I, while I was doing some reading, came across some commentaries that were saying, well, the dishonest wealth is the forgiveness that we receive. The dishonest wealth that we're sharing around is that love and grace of God that God so flippantly gives out everywhere, you know, not being shrewd with it. Yeah, so overly, overly generously that it feels sometimes like, you know, shouldn't you demand some sort of restitution or contrition or something to receive this forgiveness and grace? And to God, it's like, no.
Just, or we feel guilt about that. Yeah. Like, I need to earn this somehow. Yeah.
And so the dishonest wealth is this overwhelming love and grace that we all receive. So we can make friends through this by going out and sharing it with the world. And in doing so, that's spreading the gospel. And the connection to dignity, compassion, and justice is, you know, we should be working to create these spaces that create that have dignity for all people and seek and do justice.
Well,
love mercy, walk humbly, you know, that whole thing.
I think what feels confusing is that dignity and compassion and justice are not going to be equal across the board. no. for humans.
Yeah, and for right? some,
like,
yeah.
there is this pushback to mm-hmm. inequality. There is a, or to maybe to equality. I don't know yet.
Yeah.
Let me see where I go with this, yeah. and we'll see if I agree with myself.
Go for it.
There's a, I don't know, maybe there's a political, cultural pushback to, I'm thinking of things like mm-hmm. DEI or affirmative right. action, where there's this idea of like, well, then those people get mm-hmm. a head start, like a right. different, a different group of people is getting special treatment.
Yeah. When, and what do I get?
When we are forgetting or choosing to ignore mm-hmm. that a different group of people have gotten advantages right. and special treatment for right. a long time. So right. like, so no, those aren't equal.
Right. No, it's not going to look equal.
It's not going to look equal. It's not going to sound equal, but it's some of this justice.
Yeah.
Compassion for how do we be people? Like,
yeah.
Well, and that's the relational part of it that is for kind of lost too.
Yeah, like, because for some it's going to look like you don't, you know, you're not getting special treatment. It's going to look like you're, you know, there's some hardship on you for some reason because you're right. not getting. But it's that great image of, I'm sure you've seen it, of like the three kids trying to look over the fence to watch a baseball
yes.
game.
Yes.
And one is yeah. very tall and can already see over the fence.
Yeah.
One, like, on their tippy toes can see over the fence, and one is so short that if they jump, they can't even see over the yeah. fence. And the picture is equality is everybody now has a little apple box. So the one that's tall is now even taller.
Right.
The one that could on their tippy toes is now well over, and the one that was so short is now maybe with their tippy toes can see. And that's equality. Like, everybody gets yeah. the same little yes. thing. And that feels like, well, that's fair. Shouldn't we all get that?
Get the same thing.
But justice
right.
is the shortest one gets a much
Big
bigger box.
Yeah.
The
in
middle
order to
one,
see over the under, fence.
In order to
not
see.
Not just for fun yeah. of like, hey, let's give you this.
Let's make the playing field even.
Yeah.
The one in the middle gets a smaller box, but a box. And the tall one doesn't get anything because you could already see. You don't right. need anything right. here. But the tall one would go, well, they get this. Why don't I get? And it's like, that's not what justice is about.
So is the opposite of justice greed then?
I don't know. Like, because I think the opposite of...
Or like gluttony?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it certainly comes from greed, right? But it'll feel like injustice to those who have all the privileges, right?
Well, I'm...
Which is why there's always pushback to these things of
well,
like,
well, obviously
I didn't
we would,
get it.
We would feel injustice before we like see the benefits of justice.
Of what justice
too.
Will bring, yeah.
Right?
Because
like that would...
a rising tide raises all ships, so eventually
yeah.
if we all have more, we can all have more. And that's what this yeah. dishonest wealth thing is about. Is like
yes, it, yes.
The more you share, the more you'll get back.
Right.
It's
right.
weird. It's paradoxical, but right. it's true. Like the more you share God's love, the more love there is to go around. It's not going to run out. Why do we feel as
right.
Christians like
right.
we're the gatekeepers of God's love, and we have to say certain people don't get it?
Yeah.
Certain people do. God is calling us here in this thing to just be radical with it. Go crazy with it. Why not?
Well.
Forgive all these debts. That's what makes the master say that the manager is shrewd. It's like, good, you were hasty
yeah.
with my money.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
you would think the master would go, you're cheating me out of my money, and then you cut these debts in half. That could have been my money too. He goes, finally, you're getting it. You know,
yeah.
you're making friends
yeah.
for yourself
yeah.
by means of dishonest wealth. This wasn't your wealth to begin with, and
right.
now you're just
right.
spreading it around. Good for you. Yeah, you're
yeah.
finally getting
yeah.
it. So what we need to do in these situations is go, wow, since we've been forgiven and freed and loved, we can just go out and love everybody. But for some reason, as Christians, sometimes we think we need to just go around judging everybody and that'll whip them into shape.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's not what this is.
Mm-hmm.
You're being stingy with God's love.
Mm-hmm.
We're supposed to be shrewd with it by just giving it away willy-nilly.
Mm-hmm.
So that's
well,
the justice piece, I think. Which is why at the end I was like, wow, this actually works really well for what I want my sermon to be.
It, well, it works
somehow.
So well because I think in there there's this, like, we as humans have an obsession with what other humans are doing.
Right.
And mm-hmm. what other people are doing and what they have, instead of looking at what I have or have been
right.
given or whatever, or where they're going or yeah. what they're... what's going to happen at the yeah. end of their life. Like,
yeah.
like what...
The phrase I used...
Why does that make me better or worse?
Yeah.
Of where you're go, I don't right. know.
The phrase I use in my sermon is white knuckling, because yeah. that's I yeah. think is what we do as humans. We're white knuckling this life of, like, I got to keep track of every little wrong yeah. someone does yeah. against me, and if, you know, I'm gonna get them back for that thing they said, or, you know, they did this wrong, so I'm gonna hold them to it. And it's like yeah. it's so freeing to let go of it all,
yeah,
and just be radical about it.
Well, and so if you're gonna be contrarian, controversial mm-hmm. to this passage, you're going to say Jesus is telling us to lie and cheat and, you know, what yeah. the heck is that?
Yeah.
Right? Like mm-hmm. or to be dishonest or yeah. to be shrewd, whatever. Mm-hmm. And that is going to miss the point that yeah. this, like, God is freely giving out grace
yeah.
and love and forgiveness and celebrating that it's being given out.
Like, right.
And not, and instead, they're, yeah, they're the group mm-hmm. that's going to be like, but look at my books.
But you not, know, yeah, like, because the yeah, master never yeah. looks at the books. The right. master never right. cares. He never checks the ledger.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Doesn't matter. What matters is the relationship to all those little vendors that the manager had to go around cutting all the debts with all of them.
Yeah.
It's like, that's the thing that mattered. Now, yeah. you know how much money I yeah. lost in these deals. It's like, that is so beside the point.
Right. Well, and then the moving on of it too. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That the manager could do that and
yeah.
say, oh, I lost all this money, and then stew on all the money that,
right.
that has been lost.
Yep.
But instead there's this, I'm going to assume there is this, like, rejoicing yeah. of, we get to have a relationship. We
yep.
get to start fresh. We get to have some freedom
right.
in how we're working together, mm-hmm. how we're proceeding. And then we take that into the rest of our
yeah.
business and lives. And, like,
yeah.
we move forward with that. This, like, the, you know, pay mm-hmm. for the person behind you yeah. in line.
Exactly. At, yeah.
In the drive thru or stuff
yeah.
like that mm-hmm. of, like, what. It's not one for one, you know?
No. Right.
Someone paid for your $5 yeah. and then, dang it, you got to pay for a $10 one.
Right.
Well, too yeah. bad. You did too the bad. Thing. Like, yeah. that's...
You're not supposed to be paying attention to that
right.
stuff.
Right.
And that's kind of the point of the parable, I think.
Yes.
Let go yeah. of all that yeah. balance sheet, you know,
yeah.
balance keeping. Just stick with what has been already freely and abundantly yeah. given to us. Kind of seemingly recklessly, if you're looking at it from a, well, shouldn't everybody earn it? And wouldn't that
right.
make it more worth it? You know, wouldn't that make it more valuable if everybody had to earn their place? No, that's not
that
what
only
this
works.
Parable tells us, I think.
I'm more convinced that the earning it thing only works with sports and
yeah.
athletes.
Yeah,
of
yeah,
like,
right.
the mm-hmm. more you practice, the more you earn it.
Yeah.
And we have taken that kind of mindset into, like, everything that we do.
Right.
Of this, like...
meritocracy
yeah,
through and through.
And, I'm like, no, athletes, like, yes, they need to work harder mm-hmm. to get better. And then they give their interviews and they're
right.
like, oh, I work so hard and it's so great.
Right.
And yeah, that's where that works. That's
yeah.
keep it over there.
Yeah.
The rest of it is
mm-hmm. yeah.
grace. Like,
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
yeah.
And we need that
yeah.
because our world is so hell-bent on.
Yeah.
keeping track of all the numbers, and like you said, it's got to be a meritocracy.
Yeah.
Even though that's not even how our world works anyway, and we all know that.
Right.
You know,
oh,
it's,
yeah.
it's more uh-huh. about where you were born, you know,
who you know,
who's in your family.
Yep.
That determines way more than anything else.
Yes.
Where you
yes.
will end up in life.
Yep.
And so let go of all of that is what this parable says.
Right.
And be dishonest with this wealth that you've received. And the wealth is grace and love from
God.
Well,
and I wonder if it's less dishonest and more generous.
Yeah,
like,
I guess
or
so.
Like,
I think the honest piece is, like, you know, like an honest day's work. They mean it
oh, okay,
like you
okay.
didn't earn it for yourself.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's
That's
dishonest
the...
in the way of, like, you didn't earn this
yeah.
grace
okay.
from God. So it's a dishonest type of wealth. I don't know. It worked, though, for dignity, compassion, and justice. Well, even though I was so mad, I was like, no, how is this going to work? But it ended up working. Again. I don't know. Holy Spirit thing, I'm telling you.
Okay, so then I wonder, is there a struggle with just the word justice? Like, and what it
for sure
means to us today? You know, we've got the Department of Justice that works with, like,
The law and incarcerations.
And you think of justice, you think of someone going to prison, right? Like, they're serving, they're serving a sentence for something. And, like, how does that compare to justice that we're talking about biblically or, like, in God's kind of justice that comes apart? Or, like,
and then you also have social justice.
Justice will prevail.
Social justice is a hot button thing.
It feels like a loaded
You say social word. Justice, people get all red behind the neck, you know, I don't want to talk about that. Don't talk about racial stuff with me. That's uncomfortable.
That's because that's the connection they make right away. Social justice equals race, right? Like,
Because we're trying to make an even playing field, that has to be somehow a race thing, where now, because of if you are born a certain skin color, now you get secret advantages, and that's now unfair, even, you know, but it's not. It's justice, right? So that should be something we can all rally behind, but somehow that's been turned into something that's a hot button issue, even though shouldn't we all rally for justice for all, for liberty and justice for all? We say
but
do we believe it?
No, like, we don't believe it. Maybe that's should we?
Yeah.
But do we? No.
No, we don't.
So
I know,
because it threatens our sense of identity and who we are and what we do and how much we work,
and it threatens those people who very carefully have their ledger books all perfect and know who's in the right and who's in the wrong, who's on the inside, who's on the outside. And upsetting all of this stuff by saying you should be reckless with it and, you know, dishonest with this sort of thing. It throws everything into confusion.
But that's been religious people forever, since Jesus' time, to have their books and their ledgers and to say, you give to the church and you don't give to the church, and I give to the church and I go every weekend and I know everything. And and this keeping track of things that, I don't know, we gotta get rid of that.
Gotta get rid of it. Maybe this will be the time. Maybe listening to my sermon will change the world?
Oh, slow down there.
Wait a minute. Everything's gonna be good now? No, I've got hope for that. But maybe one person will
you can have a little hope
keep
for
thinking
that,
about
but
it. I'm going to have a little bit
that
of hope.
It was a little person, over the top hope.
I went to Hope Breakfast Bar. In Chanhassen. Have you ever been there? It like just opened.
Well, I haven't been in Chanhassen, but
there's one
a couple...
in St. Paul.
Isn't there also one in Minneapolis?
I think that's Saint, I think Saint you're thinking Park? The same. Oh, maybe there is another one. Anyway, they had on the wall, it says, "Great coffee is like a good sermon. Bold wakes you up and lingers all day." That's behind their coffee
lingers
bar.
Lingers all day. That's
well,
weird.
And that's why I was like, I don't know.
I don't want my coffee to linger all day.
By those parameters, I don't think I've ever given a great sermon.
Oh, that. I'm thinking more about the coffee.
That's true. A coffee does not linger for me all day. It lingers for about 14 minutes, 45 minutes, and then I'm done. But great sermon is like good. Great coffee is like a good sermon. Bold wakes you up and lingers all day. It's like, I regularly look around at the congregation and at least one person's asleep when I preach. So it's like,
there's once in a while I want to be like, hey,
wake up. So no, nobody's. No, I'm not waking anybody up.
I like to tell
up.
Myself that they're focusing. They're just like so in
they're
tune.
Meditating.
They're meditating.
With their eyes closed, drooling and yawning.
Yes,
Yeah, that's how
usually during
meditate.
My sermons too, there's like a baby crying or something.
Oh,
or
have you watched the YouTube from this Sunday?
No. You said it was distracting.
it was my nephew's baptism. So it's, I need to take credit for the disturbance. It's my own kith and kin. In the front row, my sister and her three kids, and they're all, you know, I want cheese. They're yelling for cheese, and baby Alex was baptized, and he was crying. He did great for the baptism.
Yep.
We're very smart here at All Saints. We do the baptism right away.
Yeah.
It's the first thing. So babies have no time to get cranky.
Yep.
But yeah, Alex started crying, and there was like, who's going to take the pass off? And I'm trying to preach, and I'm seeing out of the corner of my eye, like,
I want some cheese.
I want cheese. And then like Sarah's mother-in-law is trying to take the baby. That's not working. And then my Mario, my brother-in-law, is taking the baby. That's not working. My mom tries. That's not working. Sarah finally, of course, it's always mom can save the day. But mom was trying to listen to the sermon. But yeah, it was a lot of distractions on Sunday. But they were all of my own family. So
yeah, lingered
it
all day, apparently.
And you know, and that lingered all day. But you know, really, really quiet churches are sad. So I would much rather be in a church where we got crying kids and, you know, Cheerios smashed into the carpet and, you know, crayon marks all over it. That's life. That's life in the, that's life with the rest of the sheep in the pen.
Yeah.
You want to get back to Luke 15.
Yep. There we go.
There you go.
Then, so anyway, you know, we lose one once in a while and we...
Yeah, we lose one and I don't know, we'll go find them.
Maybe the sleeping one is the lost one.
Yeah, the lost sheep is the person who falls asleep every Sunday in the pew. Anyway, should we end this thing?
Yeah.
All right, well, thank you for listening to Continuing Conversations. If you have any thoughts about this, any questions, whatever, you know where to find us. We hope you'll... give us your input on Luke 15 and Luke 16. We got some more doozies coming up. So
I got the end of Luke 16 this week. So.
Oh boy. So stay tuned.
It doesn't end on a happy note. That's what I like really noticed.
Shocking.
I was like, oh, what do we? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The Bible does that sometimes. Yep. So anyway, we'd love to hear from you. Call us, email us, drop in church, say hi. We'd love to hear from you.
Yep.
And until next time, thanks for joining us. Bye, everybody.
Bye.